poverty from Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Our society puts a lot of emphasis on training. The soldiers in the military, they are trained. Many companies also offer some type of training, perhaps on an ongoing basis for the workers. And when we look at children, wherever they are in the world, they too are trained. Instruction comes from the home, the school, and possibly the government. We have other organizations that sometimes help train children, 4-H, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and others. Our children are trained, and the Bible has some things to say about the training of children. One of the most famous passages is the one that was just read, Proverbs 22:6. The writer said, train up a child in the way that he should go. The word that is translated train is a verb, and it's a verb that's found a few other places in the Bible. I'm going to cite these, but not actually read them. You can also find the verb in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 5. In Deuteronomy 20, Moses described a man who built a house. And after the house was built, it was to be dedicated. And the word that's translated dedicated in Deuteronomy 25 is the same word that's translated train in Proverbs 22:6. The word is also found in 1 Kings 8:63 to describe the dedication of the temple. Just as a building, or just as a house is dedicated, so this word in Proverbs 22 means that children are to be dedicated to certain things. Children need to be pointed in a certain direction and kept on a particular path. As you look at Proverbs 22, it suggests to us that children, all children, will be trained. They will be trained, they will be dedicated to one thing or another after they grow up. Thus, with children, we may say that the matter is not if we train our kids, but how we train our children. That's what it boils down to. The only question to be answered is how we're going to train our offspring. What will children be trained for? What will they be dedicated to in their adult years? The Bible makes it clear that God wants us to train our children. In Ephesians 6:4, Paul spoke of nurturing children. And that tells us that instead of letting kids go whichever direction they want, God wants us to give them direction. In our society, we find a variety of styles concerning the home. There is the single-parent home. There are children who are raised by same-sex couples. Some are raised in foster homes. Others are trained by a relative. And then there are, of course, homes where two parents try to train children. Training comes in a variety of ways. It can go in a variety of directions. And because it's so important, because this is a responsibility from God, we need to do it right. This fact causes us to ask this question: how should we, if we are a Christian, or if we are interested in using God's training manual, the Bible, how should we train our children? Well, the Bible first affirms that the responsibility for training children belongs to the parents. In the book of Psalms 127, verse 3, the Bible says that children are a heritage from the Lord. That is, children come from God, two parents, and mom and dad have the responsibility to train them. And this responsibility is one of the most serious that adults ever undertake. Parents are to take any children that they have and do their best to mold them into faithful Christians. If we are a Christian, it is our job to help our offspring find God, know God, and become faithful children in His service. Someone says, well, that sounds easy enough, but how do we accomplish it? Well, how we live our life is a major factor in determining how our children will turn out. There are exceptions, of course, to this, but in many ways, children will pattern their lives after their parents. And because this is true, parents need to ensure that they take some important steps. Jesus once told people how much they are to love God. You may remember that in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind. And then Jesus went on to say in the next verse, Matthew 22:38, this is the great and first commandment. If we have an interest in training our children, Proverbs 22:6, then we will impart the values that Jesus described in Matthew chapter 22. Our children will grow up knowing that it's right and proper for them to love God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind. Children will see in their parents a living example of what Jesus described. And that example is not one that we create after the children have been born and in our household for some time, but it should be an example that's in place long before children are ever born. One of the sad things that we find in life consists of parents who tell us at some point they found a church two non-religious people got married, or perhaps two people who had some interest in spiritual things, but they were not churchgoers. They fell in love, they got married, and then they had children. And after the children reached the age of 2 or 5 or 7 or 12, maybe even in the teenage years, they saw a need for God. And they decided that they would go out and find, they would become part of a religious group. They saw a spiritual need, so they tried to fulfill it. The time to start loving God. The place to begin the right example is when we're young. Before marriage is the time to become a faithful Christian. After we grow up, and after getting married, before children, is the time to learn God, learn how to serve God with a spouse. This approach allows a child to be trained as early as possible. And if this approach is taken, if people grow up with the right attitude towards God and they get married and they serve with their spouse in a faithful way, then that shows that they're already on the right road. They have the right path charted. Love for God is essential, but it's not enough. A lot of people talk about love for God, but the New Testament associates love with knowledge. Listen, if you will, to what Paul had to say in the opening chapter of Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." And then he said, "in knowledge and in all discernment." Paul shows in the first chapter of this great book that love and discernment, love and knowledge, are two things that go together. To properly train a child, there needs to be love towards God. There needs to be dedication. But people also need to know the Word of God. 50 years ago, it almost was without exception that members of the church knew Scripture. People were well-versed in the book, but in some places that's no longer the case. In a number of congregations, we have a growing problem concerning Bible knowledge. We have scores of members of the church who have very little Bible knowledge. And if we as parents are poorly informed about spiritual things, how can we help our children? To train a child, there must be a fervent love for God and a good knowledge of His words. And when these things are in place, parents are then in a position to provide the right kind of example for their children. Young people will see their parents live faithful Christian lives. And this, too, is one more ingredient in successful training of children. Children need to see plenty of times when mom and dads are good examples. They need to see what it means to live out the principles found in the New Testament. They also need to see some times when mom and dad fail. Children benefit from seeing how a Christian recovers from sin. All people stumble at some point in time. Children are going to see that, and it's beneficial for a young person to see how a Christian parent repents and gets on the right track once again. That's a part of training. What else needs to be done if we're going to train up a child? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Young people need to learn about the place that God should have in their life. You may remember from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Kids know what the parents are desiring. Children know what the young people are seeking. They know as far as God's place in their parents' life, whether He's at the top, whether He's at the bottom, or somewhere in the middle. They know where God has, as far as the priority in the parents' life. To properly train children, Jesus suggests in Matthew 6, 33 that God needs to be at the top. To properly train children, there is also a need for corrective discipline. We live in a time, we live in a period, in an age, and in a society where it is a common thing for parents to let their children run wild. It's sad to say, but on more than one occasion, most of us have seen children who had about as much restraint as a wild animal. We've seen cases of that. The Bible has some things to say about self-control, and in no passage do we find, whether we look at the Old Testament or the New, that self-control is limited to adults. Kids can be taught to behave. And God says that children need to be taught to behave. Three quick references from the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 23, verse 14, the Bible says that punishment saves the soul of a child. It has a purpose. God says it is necessary. In the preceding verse, Proverbs 23, verse 13, God says that we are not to withhold punishment from children. It is a part of the parental responsibilities that we have. And then in Proverbs 29, verse 15, it says that punishment, the rod, spanking might be another way to describe that, imparts wisdom. In other words, it is part of the teaching process. It is part of the training process. God says that this is a necessary component in being a parent. There is a unifying point between Proverbs 22, 6, training a child, Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, and Proverbs 29, 15. And that unifying point is that training a child does include punishment. Bible punishment, contrary to the allegations of many, is not child abuse. Bible punishment, Bible discipline, is helping children go in the right way. There's some people who think that children do not need punishment. They do not need discipline. Others in our society, sometimes quite learned individuals, say that kids are better directed without it. But God says it's necessary. And God says that it works. The consequences of not punishing young people, at least as I see it, are becoming more and more visible in our society. We have a generation that has arisen without, by and large, a lot of discipline, and these people are entering into the work world. And when these people are reprimanded by those in authority, they're stunned. It's a new experience for some of them. We were never punished. We were never disciplined. We were never reprimanded growing up. So what right do you have to do that to us? And that's something that people are facing in the work world. And the parents who do not discipline their children, and that includes spanking young ones, do a disservice to them. Proper punishment and discipline are part of God's training manual when we deal with children and how to raise them. Another aspect to training children relates to Satan. There are children, and this is true by and large of all of them, who are often ignorant about some of the dangers in our world. I know a preacher who has a daughter. She's in her late teenage years, and not too long ago, this young lady was coming out of a toy store. As she exited, there was a man on the curb who stopped her, and he said, "You have all of the qualities to be a model. Face is just right. You're perfect." And he said, "I can help you make a great deal of money if you will let me photograph you. In fact," he said, "if you're willing to let me take some pictures, I'll do it at no charge." He worked out of his van, and it was right there by the corner. If she just had some time, he could go and set her up. Well, she thought that sounded like a pretty good idea, but she had an appointment and had to go on to something else. How many professional photographers do you know who lurk outside a toy store waiting for a model to show up? I don't know of any, and I'm sure that you don't either. Young people are often naive about some things, and that includes Satan's schemes. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul said, "Flee youthful lusts." The apostle recognized that there are some dangerous things in the world, and to a man who was a lot older than a teenager, he said, "You need to flee those things. You need to leave them alone." Sometimes these things are fled not because young people see them and they decide on their own to flee them, but they're fled from because mom and dad step forward and say to their child, "No." Training a child means that parents will sometimes tell their children that there are some things that are off limits. Young people do not always recognize how dangerous a certain situation can be. Satan is very shrewd in some of his temptations, and sometimes because they lack experience, or perhaps because their perception is not as broad as that of mom and dad, young people cannot see how dangerous some situations are. So there are occasions when mom or dad or both need to step forward and say, "There are some things in life that you will not do. We're putting our foot down. This is something that you're not going to do. This is a behavior that we do not find acceptable. This is a place that we forbid you from going," and that ends the discussion. The answer is no, and that's it. We don't want to hear anything else. I've heard people, parents say, "Well, I couldn't tell that to my child because it would hurt their feelings." It may hurt the feelings, but there are some situations that are temptations that are extremely dangerous, situations that are so perilous that it really shows a lack of love for a parent to simply say, "Well, you make your own choice. You decide what you're going to do." If we're the adult, if we're the parent, sometimes we need to step forward and say, "You may not understand it now. You may not appreciate our decision. You may feel like you hate us. But this is something that we forbid you from doing." This should be common sense to every parent, especially every Christian parent, and should be a fact that is readily acknowledged by all. There's some times where we must make some difficult decisions, and those choices need to be enforced. And yet we sometimes find cases, and this can be true even in the church, of where parents tell their children no, but the no doesn't mean no, and children know it. There are some cases where parents do not keep their word. And this approach to parenting is training, but it's not good training. Our actions as parents train our children, and we need to carefully consider how we proceed. If we do this, we should be parents who are free from guilt. And that's another important point. I recently, as most of you know, spent some time with my parents. Dad is about 70 years of age. Mom is a few years younger. And they told me as I was there, and this was not the first time, that they often think back to the parenting years. My sister and I, we gave them some challenges. And I suppose I would do things a little bit differently, and they certainly, as they look back on that time, would do some things differently too. Their friends who are in the same age bracket have the same kinds of feelings. And surely all parents, as they look back over the years, if they could have a second chance, they would alter some things. But this morning I want us to realize that if we have children who are grown, or one day we reach that point, if we have trained them as the Bible describes, then we have done our job. If we have done the job that is described in Scripture, there is no basis, there should be no basis for guilt. You see, in the world we recognize that some do not respond to training. There are cases where people are trained and trained. They're given the best possible training. They're given all the time, all of the possible chances, and yet there are simply some who will not respond no matter what kind of training is offered. And sometimes that's the same situation with children. I've lost count of the parents who have cried, who have expressed great grief, saying, "My children know about God. They were taught. They were given every chance. I gave them the best possible example that I could, but they are unfaithful. We did everything that we knew as Christians, and yet they're not dedicated to the Lord." When people find themselves in that situation, they need to realize that their parental duties were successfully discharged. If we have taught, if we have properly disciplined our children, if we have given them biblical direction, and we provided a faithful Christian example, folks, we did it all. We provided them with everything that God wants them to be given. We did our job. And now the decision about what they're going to do is up to them. If we parent in the way that God has described, we should be a parent who is free from guilt. Free from guilt. That's one of the great benefits of parenting according to the instructions God has given. God wants us to train our children. If we're a parent, is that what we're trying to do? Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22:6. The latter part of that verse, which we didn't deal with, is not a guarantee. It's not an ironclad promise, but it is a general principle. Generally speaking, the way that children are trained, that will be the way that they continue in life. There are exceptions, but most often the case, it turns out that way. If we have grandchildren, are we trying to help them? Are we trying to aid in their training too? Are we someone here who's a young person who's been trained? Mom and Dad have given us a good example. Another family member or relative has shown us the right way. We've been taught. We've been instructed. And now the time has come for us to become a Christian. If you're someone who has never been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, we can help you take those steps this morning. If you're someone as a parent who needs help, if you are in another state where we can offer some kind of assistance to you, encourage you, pray with you, baptize you into Christ, restore you, or something else. This morning there are people here who would like to help. And if there's a way that we can aid you, we'll deal with that problem in private if you like, or if it's a matter that you'd like to make known to the people who are here, we invite you to come as we now stand and sing.